Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Born October 30th in Manhattan, New York. Our next guest is, without question, one of our favorite people in the world. From his iconic work as Fonzie on the series Happy Days, to his work in such films as Night Shift, Scream, and The Waterboy, and such series as Arrested Development, and his Emmy Award-winning work on the HBO series, Barry. His latest children's book, Alien Superstar, is out now. And he returns for an all-new season of Barry this March. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Hollywood legend, Henry Winkler.
Mr. Henry Winkler.
Me.
How are you?
Well, I didn't hear any applause.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. I would like to thank all of the people that got me to the telephone to get me on the Johnny Dare Show.
I love you.
It's a pleasure.
I wish you were in New York for Thanksgiving, and I'm sure you're in Los Angeles.
I am. I have been traveling so much that I couldn't get on another plane.
You know, I get that. Well, you love family.
Are you gonna dress warmly enough? I mean, there are storms coming.
Oh, it's okay. I'm from Kansas. We travel prepared. I've got all of it.
Okay. Are you going there on motorcycle?
No. We jump on an airplane and fly in like real adults and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds so normal.
We were talking before you came on, and I truly wasn't laughing, but I'm sure you remember this. In that Macy's Day Parade about 8 years ago, a clown had a heart attack, and there was a front page New York, I think it was the Post, had it, where this clown's arm was underneath a sheet. He was hanging off the gurney, and two clown feet were sticking up, and I was right there watching this, and I remember being so weirded out by it, and it kind of caught me off guard that I had to walk off and gain my composure because I think I laughed a little.
Do you know, I was wondering what exactly it was in your youth that has made you kind of the way you are. Now that we've actually gone to dinner, I understand it takes special patience to be with a dare.
Yes. Yes.
And I now there it is.
Yes, I know.
So true.
It's mid-adult trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. You couple that with a childhood do-over? Because I had an okay childhood. It wasn't like my parents burned me with cigarettes. But yeah, no.
That's true. And they taught you manners not to laugh at the dead.
No, it's so bad. It's hard to admit because I know it sounds awful when I say it, but it popped out of me.
No, I did not see that moment. I sometimes watch the parade. I was at the parade as a child. I lived two blocks away.
Oh, did you love it? Was it the best?
From the blowing up, station.
The glow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you love it as a kid?
I did. I did love it. I did love it.
See,
of course, being Jewish, we celebrated Hanukkah.
Right.
So there was so much Christmas a part of the parade that my parents had no joy.
Wow.
Well, they had no joy about basically anything. But, you know, the parade was, but I loved it. Yeah, I loved going early in the morning and watching them blow up the balloons.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess for me, like I don't see any meaning in it other than it's just absurd. It's just absurd. It's just a bunch of giant cartoon figures and action figures and floats, and it's all just pure entertainment. I mean,
it is.
It's just that, and I never attached any other meaning than just watching it as a child on television from Kansas City, and then getting to stand there. I really felt like I had accomplished something in my life. As crazy as that sounds, I was like, man, I can't believe I actually got to come here and see this parade I watched every year in my childhood.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's, there's nothing like a parade.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether it is a Main Street in New York, America, or, you know, right down the Thanksgiving Day parade in New York.
Yep.
No matter what the size, it is still mesmerizing.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I don't put too much meaning into certain things. I try not to build too much in. I just want to enjoy music,
yeah.
You know?
What else do you do in New York?
We're going to go see a friend's band, Steel Panther, on Wednesday. A comedian, Craig Gass, who's a dear friend. We're going to catch up with him and some other friends. And
you want to go to a Broadway play?
I would love to if you were in it.
Oh, yeah, but not. And just in case I'm not in it, you don't go.
Well, listen, once you've been invited by your friend Henry to see, you know, and then everything else pales in comparison.
Now I'm inviting you, so now I'm giving you the ticket.
I remember I was so excited to see you, and then it didn't work out. But I always thought you were so thoughtful a few years back that you made a real point to call and say, hey, just so you know, the play's not going to continue. And I just don't want you to, you know, I just want you to be aware of that. And I just thought, man, that's really...
Yeah, that was terrible. There was a big storm that came in. Excuse me. I'm choking on my granola because I'm in California. But we were in a play, and it was open and it closed in 7 days. Sandy, the storm came in and flooded all transportation. And no one could get in from New Jersey and Long Island and Connecticut, and the play closed.
Yeah, yeah. Which is sad.
Oh, my God. I didn't get over that for 2 years.
Really? But you couldn't put that on you. I mean, certainly you'd be disappointed, but it's nothing you guys did. It wasn't that your performance was lacking or the play.
We were the pick to click.
Yeah.
But I loved it so much, and and it was, you know, it was just over before it began.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny. Yeah, it was great. It was the night of the Academy Award of the porn industry, and I was the Lifetime Achievement Award.
My
name was
so
Chuck
great.
Wood.
Chuck Wood.
Yeah.
You just love anything that makes you laugh a little inside, don't you? Because
it does.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, that's the...
I do. We write our books. Lynn Oliver and I write the books with humor because we believe that's the gateway to making reluctant readers readers.
Absolutely. To everything. Alien Superstar, we're talking about the newest one.
Oh, jumped on the New York Times bestseller list. It was number 5 right out of the gate. I'm very proud of it. We're
you
writing
should.
The second one right now.
You, how many, think about this, and you, I do believe that you're wiser than most people, and you do live in the moment, and you understand how incredibly gifted this is that you know, to go on the bestseller time and time again, to you know, get your Emmys, to be respected and loved by so many human beings. When we walked into this restaurant.
It could turn in a minute.
Yes. But you... No. I've seen some star stuff before, and I'm not kidding. We walked into that restaurant here in Kansas City, and it's a very nice place, and they were all adults, and nobody was expecting to see Henry Winkler and William Shatner walk in, but I saw adults.
I'm Johnny Dare.
Yes. Well, they certainly didn't expect to see me in there. But they jumped up, and I saw adults, like really high-end, you know, people who are probably more self-involved than they should be. And they immediately just had, it was just a meltdown. I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens every place I go, except my own home.
That's, well, see, Miss Stacy, she keeps you all good.
I don't even have a key to my house. I have to knock on the front door and then hope somebody is home. Picture it. I'm sitting there like a latchkey kid on my stoop waiting. In the rain for someone to come.
That's,
you know, my age is not so easy.
No, come on. You're in great shape.
It's really true. There are two or three parts of me that are in some shape. The rest is very sad.
Are you excited about Barry? Are you excited about Barry starting up again?
You know what? We finished last December.
And
you know, more than, I mean, we are not even at a year, and then I have to wait until next March when we start filming again.
I didn't realize that. That's too.
Oh, my gosh. It is, that is the most frustrating thing.
And that's,
I mean, aside from not having work at all, is to, waiting so long. But MacGyver, I was just in Atlanta and visited the set of MacGyver.
Excellent.
The new season is going to start in February.
And for people who don't know, you know, he was the guy, the original MacGyver. You were the creator.
Well, yeah, my company with John Rich, a man who's no longer with us, we sold it to ABC through my company. And they said, if you bring us a show that we like, we'll put it on. And they did. And it's here it is. We'll be in its 10th year.
Yeah. Well, you've done such iconic work. Henry, if you're just doing the show, the great legendary Henry Winkler, and especially around Thanksgiving, I think about a lot of different things, but I just think about your childhood and how you grew up dyslexic and how hard your mother and father and the teachers were on you and how easily it would have been to crawl inside of yourself. But instead of that, you, a guy who didn't even know he was dyslexic at the time, could memorize and work his way through a script so he could be in movies and television shows, then become a director, become a writer.
You know what that is? We've talked about this before. I'm telling you, I now am pretty positive that that was will.
Yes.
That's knowing what you want and just not letting anybody say no.
That's right.
You know it in your heart, you go.
But, you know, so many other people, with those hard circumstances, genuinely hard, you know, your parents, it still breaks my heart to think about them calling you dumb dog. And,
They were very supportive. They were really right there with me.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I made a pact with myself that I would be a different parent.
Yeah, I think
I just, you know, I said to my children, if you don't like anything that your mother and I are doing, remember it, write it down, and don't do it again, because it's so easy to become your parents.
Sure. That's what you learned. You know? It's built into you.
It's built in. It's baked in.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to work.
And you have to hear that, my parents were on the tip of my tongue ready to dive out into a sentence at any moment. And I had to lasso them back in and hogtie them and then start the sentence again and say, no, this is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough with my father, who is an incredibly hardworking, good human being. He was very short on patience.
In Kansas City?
In Kansas City, yes. And but he was really short on patience. And ultimately, what I realized about my dad was he had a life that he wasn't asking for. He got his heart broken, and then he did what all guys do when you get your heart broken in the 60s. You join the military. He flies to England. He meets my mom. He does what you're supposed to do. You get married to a pretty girl. You start a family. And somehow, I think it wasn't what he wanted. It wasn't what he was looking for. And I used to think he was always angry at us. He was just angry at his life.
Did he live long enough to see your success?
Yeah, my father's still alive. He battles Alzheimer's, but it's not super advanced. He and my mom still live in the same house I grew up in. I have two nurses that take care of them every day.
Right.
Luckily he got to see this bit of success, and he's always been very supportive and proud of the whole thing. Very much so.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but there's the other parts of him that I've had to really inside myself fight against.
You bet. I understand completely.
Yeah,
I really do.
You
are. And you know what? That is that. I think that is living. Living is that fighting against all odds, so that you get where you want to go.
Yeah,
that's what living is about.
Well, always.
It's not existing.
No.
Day-to-day.
No.
Now there are people I understand who are in circumstances who existing day to day is absolutely the best that can happen at the moment. I am not in any way disparaging that.
No, of course
not. I'm just thinking that if you can, fighting
always.
Who you might be, who what's baked in, being down on the fact that you're not where you want to be yet, got to fight that.
Always. And I think what you're saying is so true, especially the people that are just right now surviving, because they're fighting to survive. They're fighting
to get further. I respect them.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah. And always, you know, rule number one, always punch up. Always.
Punch up. Wow. Yeah, I never heard that.
Always punch up, man. You can't be the guy who punches down. You got to punch up, man. That's the only righteous way to live your life. Like, you got to keep going. And also be a defender for other people. That's the other great thing in this life. But man, we've
forgotten. So difficult.
Yeah.
You can do just the smallest thing for somebody else, and it is a major ripple in the lake of life.
I believe it with all my heart.
Yeah.
I
believe that too.
Yeah.
I really do.
You are. Henry, why? At what point were you always this aware, or when did you like? Because I'm sure I didn't have a brain through teenage years. I'm sure it started to form sometime in my 20s, and somewhere in my early 30s, I probably turned into a real human being.
I don't know exactly. I always had this. I know about myself. I always had a sense of being intuitive about other people. I just was not intuitive about myself.
Right.
It was always on the outside, and I was a late bloomer in connecting myself to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I didn't have a lot of friends when I was a kid, and then when I got older,
I was always chasing the friends. I was always saying, you know what? I'm over the summer. I got cooler. I'm. You're gonna really enjoy being with me. It was very sad when I think back.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, because we don't know that geographically, the kids that we're forced to be friends with are not really great people necessarily. And there's a big world out there. And that's what I always try to tell a kid is, hey, man, don't freak out about high school. This is a moment in time. I know it seems insurmountable. It's going on forever. But I promise you, you're going to turn 18 and you can travel anywhere, go anywhere, talk to anybody, be anything. You're not stuck here with the labels that they're pinning on you.
Now, let me just say, that's easy to say, not so easy to do.
No.
But it is true, boy, you know, that you're not locked in, that this is not your lot in life. There is much more, much richer life out there. Much thicker, more wonderful, delicious life out there for you. That is true.
Yeah, well, I was 18 and moved to L.A. with nowhere to live and $175 or $200 in my pocket.
So what did you do? The first thing, you landed in L.A., what did you do?
I went down to Hollywood Boulevard, which is the worst thing you could do. And then I went over to the Musicians Institute. I had a buddy who told me about it, and he said that's where you can find a roommate. And there was a board inside the doors near the Church of Scientology. Went over, pulled it off, went to 6711 Yucca Street, and I slept on a dining room floor for a couple of years, and it was I had to pay $550 a month for my dining room and the mattress that laid there on the floor.
I went to this girl's house. I did not date her. I knew her from college, and I slept in the anteroom on pillows from the couch. Between the bedroom and the bathroom, there was like a little vanity, and I put the pillows under the vanity, and that's where I slept for weeks.
Yeah.
Until I could figure out what I was going to do.
And you know what? I loved it. I was out of this other world. And I was into this other world that was, you had to be aware and awake, and you had to look around you, and it was new, and it was, everything was different. And I was a hot tar roofer. I had to ride the bus an hour and a half to work, an hour and a half home every day.
Wow. And, in LA in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was wonderful. Like, I learned for every action, there's a reaction. You learn personal responsibility. You understand that you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Right.
And,
wow.
But it was life changing. Came back and I just started my life. But it was, if I hadn't have done it, I would not have known there was a world out there, a whole nother place.
Did you know at that time that you wanted to be a performer, that you had a gift of gab, and that you could do this job?
No, I mean, I never wanted to be in radio. I was a paramedic, and I was going to be a firefighter. I worked at a skateboard shop with Greg and a record store.
Right.
And Greg got a job at radio being a board operator, which sounded very exotic. But since I was riding the ambulance for 24 hours at a time, then you'd have 48 hours off, I started hanging out at this radio station. And all of a sudden, it just became a couple of really important people in my life. Nikki's husband, Mike Kennedy, took a liking to me and let me work in promotions. And then another guy named Doug Sorensen, rest his soul, hired me to do middays at The Rock here 26 years ago. And it's like him and John Schweitzer.
And you never looked back?
No. Not at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that about you. That's fantastic. Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
How is the sassifier?
Oh, she's very good. She is great. She's excited. This whole trip to New York is always her. She told me once that she goes, I always wanted to be at that parade. And I was like, I remember like it was yesterday. And I'm like, oh, she has no idea. I'm buying those tickets today and we're going. That was 8 years ago. We go every year.
Wow.
And we have a wonderful time. Like, it's the best walking around, hand-holding, really fun.
It is true, especially up and down Fifth Avenue.
Sure.
Where all the windows are
on display,
completely
yeah.
hollified.
It's wonderful, man.
If you get a chance to see a Broadway play, just keep this in mind.
Yes, sir.
Come from away.
Got it. Come from away.
From away.
What's the play?
The play is it's a musical. It is the story of a little town of 700 people in Newfoundland, in Canada. 9/11, 9,000 people land on the airstrip. And now these 700 people have to figure out how to take care of 9,000 people. And I'm telling you, you will jettison out of your chair, screaming and clapping. It is just a celebration of living.
That's so funny that this is about that. I rode my motorcycle to Nova Scotia. We almost went to Newfoundland, but we ended up in Nova Scotia, do the Cabot Trail, running from Kansas City all the way up near there.
Wow. How long does that take?
It took a few days. It's to get up there, and then you got to take a boat over, and then just one day on the trail, and then back. Started working our way back, but we were normally gone for about 9 days.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so funny. It's in that part of the world because we've spent a bunch of time up there. It's beautiful, and the people are wonderful.
Every story that you see on the stage is a true story of what happened to either the passengers or the townspeople. I'm telling you, I've seen it twice. Come from away.
Come from away. I've already pulled the website up, and I'm going to see if there are tickets available.
Okay.
All right, listen, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and love to Stacy and everybody, and I'm glad you get to spend all the time with your family and the kids, and I just hope...
Thank you. I love that I got to spend a little time with you right here, day before Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday.
You're a wonderful man, Henry. I love you, and I will speak with you very soon.
I look forward to it.
I sometimes feel like I'm lying on a couch.
He has a gift.
He does. He really does. You know what it is? You know he's not going to turn it on you.
No, you feel very comfortable.
You're this is who I am. I've always been pretty comfortable just letting my stuff hang out because I'm not, you know.
And Henry,
point in my life, I'm pretty sure my scars are visible.
Henry is always genuinely interested in whatever. I'll never forget. Like, it was one of the nicest things anybody's ever done. At Comic-Con, I wanted Jackson to meet him. And Jackson's watching Barry. Like, he knows Barry. He knows the water boy. He did not like me. Like, I know the Fonz and all everything all the way up to it. But, like, we go up there. We get in line. We get up to him. I explain who I am. He stops everything down. And because the lady there's a handler there, there's like, do you guys want a picture? Do you want an autograph? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And Henry like steps in and goes, no, they don't want any of that. We want to talk. for a second. And he turns his back to everybody else. And like, you literally are in a, I mean, you've been to it. You know,
he does this really special thing. Most guys sit behind a table. Mm-hmm. He comes around and then he's not being rude to the people in the line, but everybody gets that treatment. He'll turn his back. So you have his utmost attention.
Because you're in Bartle Hall and it feels like there's 50,000 people around you.
There
and,
are.
And then for a moment, you're there's
in his circle.
Not.
Right. You're in his circle.
And
at
he's
that point.
Really good at making people feel amazing and genuinely hearing your words and making, you know.
Yeah, he's a great listener. You can tell. Because you joke, if you don't be cute and make sure you listen right back because he's going to say things that go like so fast.
Well, and I mean, you know, guys, truly and. You know, a friend, and he listened to you, like, you know, sassified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows.
Yeah.
And so he's, and she adores him. And his wife, by the way, is, and I told this story before, but it's always worth telling. So same one, we went out to dinner, that same Comic-Con, like with you and your son.
Right.
And at the end of it, it was a wonderful conversation. She had tipped her purse over, and she was like, oh, okay. And he literally loves her so much, he dove under the table. This is Henry Winkler. Like, he's crawling around underneath this table, picking stuff up. He's like, no, baby, I got it. And he's just the most attentive, like super loving. Like those two are fantastic. It's fantastic to see people like that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.